And I'm going to read our text for this morning. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll get started. I'm glad you're here. I pray that you've been greeted properly and I'm glad you just make yourself at home. If you're new here today, a lot of visitors today, we want you to feel welcome. But now we come to one of the main parts of the service, the main part, I believe, and that's the ministry of the Word of God. Let's look at verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, I'm going to deal with that text at a later date, or fall from the grace of God. What does it mean to fall from grace? I'm going to bring a later message on that. But I want to focus on the middle part. Lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for the number you give us today. And Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to minister your word. We're thankful for our week of study that we had in your word of creation versus evolution. We're thankful for Brother Overby that came and studied and preached to us all week. Lord, we just pray now that you would bind the strong man amongst us, that there be no disruptions, that we'd be able to minister your word with free course. Lord, we pray that you'd help me to recall my studies, maybe bring to mind other things that needs to be said, that we just submit ourselves to you. May you be exalted in the message. May the saints be edified. And Lord, we pray that you come in amongst us today and just fill this place with your presence. That indeed, when we're done, as folks leave, they can say, indeed, this has been a good place to be. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to entitle the message today, The Poisonous Plant. And if you're taking notes in our CD lady, that's what you entitled this particular message, The Poisonous Plant. It's based on the middle part of verse 15, where it talks about a root of bitterness that springs up in you. And that root of bitterness then will trouble you, and then it will also defile. I think you need to beware of the root of bitterness. And in this message, we're going to have a three-point outline, so you can write that down. Of course, to have a root of bitterness that springs up, you know where that all begins at, don't you? It has to begin with a seed. You have to have a seed. And of course, you know a seed is buried where it's buried underneath to where you can't see it. And folks, that's the way bitterness is. It is buried underneath your exterior in your interior. And you can't see it, but that's where that this particular poisonous plant that we're talking about takes root. So it begins with a seed, and we're going to talk this morning about what some of those seeds are. The seeds that brings about this poisonous plant. We're going to talk a little bit about the root then after that. Of course, a seed has to take root and be germinated and produce a root, and we're going to talk about how that seed gets rooted and springs up. That's the second thing we're going to talk about. Then the third thing we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about that there poisonous plant that comes from that seed and from that root, that poisonous plant of bitterness that springs up, and we're going to talk about what all that thing can do. What all that thing can do. And then we're going to talk about how that thing needs to be not cut off. It needs to be rooted out. You got to pull it up. You talk about a bad weed. You got to pull that thing out of you by the roots. I had a track, and I've read it to you many times. The root of bitterness is one of the number one killers of Christian fruitfulness. It's one of the number one killers of Christian fruitfulness. And it's one of the leading problems in churches. It can spring up in anybody. You can get people that's been saved for years and they get this root of bitterness in their heart and they will absolutely tear a church apart from within. You can get a pastor that gets a root of bitterness and absolutely tear the church he pastors completely apart. So we need to beware this bitter root. You may have, or this poisonous plant, you may have came in here today. I don't know your interior. You know who knows that? God does. And you may came into this service today, and you might have several of them plants growing on the inside of you. And that's what this message is for. You need to get that thing rooted out of there, and we're going to show you how to do that in this text. All right, first of all, let's talk about the seed here just a little bit. Just a little bit, we'll talk about the seed that leads to this poisonous plant. Certainly to have a poisonous plant such as this that springs up in you, there has to be a seed that begins that. And you know what kind of seeds those are? The seeds that produce the poisonous plant are events. Any kind of event whereby you feel that you've been treated unfairly or unjustly. Any event that happens to you in which you feel that you've been treated unfairly or unjustly. Any event that has deeply hurt you. Those are seeds. And that if they can get down in you and they can take root inside of you, and you know what they can do? They can produce this root of bitterness. But that's what the seeds are. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. You're never guaranteed in this life that you won't be treated unfairly. You can't guarantee in this life. There's no guarantee in this life that you will never be treated unjustly. And there's no guarantee in this life that you won't have someone that tremendously hurts you. That will happen. And I'm sure every one of you here this morning at one time or the other has been treated unfairly or unjustly in their life. And or had things that's happened to them or people that have deeply, deeply, deeply hurt you. I must say before I move on that you need to remember one thing. Since we're not exempt from those things, one thing you got to remember, you choose how you're going to respond to those things. We think that's compelled upon us, our response to trial. I've had things happen to me. I could have panicked and fell apart, or I could trust the Lord. So you choose how you respond to bad treatment. Always you make that decision for yourself. As a child of God, what He wants you to do is to choose to trust Him and put your confidence in Him. Does everybody understand then the seeds, and everybody understand you feel you're treated unfairly? If I can, and if you would, let's find the book of Jonah. I know that's a difficult book to find. The book of Jonah, chapter 4. Does everybody in the house know that Jonah got bitter? You talk about bitter poison issuing from a man, and it's sad. It would have been great if the book of Jonah ended with him going into Nineveh and preaching the salvation message to them and the people repenting, and then the book ended. But the book don't end good on Jonah. Jonah didn't end good in this particular text. I'm going to be honest with you. Do you know why Jonah never wanted to go to Nineveh to start with? Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and the Assyrians was the one that would eventually come down into Israel and destroy the northern 10 tribes and carried them off into captivity. And it was also the Assyrians that flooded down into the southern part of Israel, which was called Judah. And they just wreaked havoc down there, went all the way up to the capital city. And then God delivered through the prayer of Hezekiah. Well, Jonah wanted God to judge him. That's why he didn't want to go up there and preach. These were the enemies of his nation. And he wanted God to bring judgment on them, and he felt that God should. So when God told him to go up and preach so they would repent, you know what Jonah did, don't you? He went the other way. Because he knew that God was merciful and gracious, and he just figured God would get somebody else. I'm going to be honest with you. If God calls you to do it, I've heard preachers say all the time, God calls you to do it, if you don't do it, God will get something. No, He won't. He didn't go get another prophet. He made Jonah willing to go. Now, he had to go through a storm, get swallowed by a great fish in the process. But, brother, after the master was done with him, he was more than willing to go to Nineveh. Children of God don't get by with going in rebellion against your father. Dad will whip you. And Dad took his belt off to Jonah, and once he got done with Jonah, Jonah was more than willing to go to Nineveh and preach. So he went and preaches. You know what the Lord does? Did just what He said. He granted mercy upon those folks. And you know what? Jonah thought that was unfair. He didn't think that was right, that God did that. You know, God's never be questioned by us. He's always righteous and good in whatever he does. We said that this past Wednesday night. So he didn't think that was fair. Look at verse 1 of Jonah chapter 4. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. I mean, he didn't rejoice that God saved these people. These were the enemies of Israel. He wanted God to judge them. And it displeased him. He thought God was being unfair or unjust. Anytime you question God, that's what you're saying. He's never to be questioned by you because you don't have all the information anyway. He does. This displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, oh, Lord, was not this my saying when I was in my country? Therefore I fled into Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So he wanted God to judge him. Now therefore, Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And folks, that's exactly what a root of bitterness will do. It'll make your brother die as live. It'll make you a miserable. It'll make you so miserable and unhappy inside that you will be miserable to everyone that's around you. Have you ever been around? Have you ever worked with? I've worked with people that had a root of bitterness in them. And I was like, oh, my, you can't stand to be around them. They wear you out. And this can happen to you. This can happen to you. And someone with this poisonous plant growing in them, man, it affects those that are around them too. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. So does everybody understand the seed? The seed is just any kind of event where you feel like you've been treated unfairly or unjustly or where someone has done something that hurts you severely. That's what the seeds that can produce it. This poisonous plant just don't up and happen on its own. There's events or seeds that trigger it. And what these seeds have to do is they have to then move on to the second point. These seeds, once they're planted, they then have to take root. They have to take root. And they can take root. They can take root in here. They can take root on your inside, and then they can begin to grow. Now, would you like for me to show you now how they take root? I can show you several things. Turn to the book of Psalms 37. I don't think I'm going to preach real long today. You don't ever know. I don't know if it's going to be long or short. I don't really care. You just bring the message you think the Lord wants you to deal with, and then when you're done, you go home. That's just the way that I look at it. If it's long, fine. If it's short, fine. I tell Harlan, who's beginning to teach, and he said, well, my message wasn't very long. I said, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address was about 3 minutes long. Wasn't very long, and he walked away from the Gettysburg Address feeling that the crowd was disappointed and the message was a failure. The Gettysburg Address. It don't have to be long. Just so you have it blessed by the Holy Spirit. That's your power. Okay, and that's what you need to remember. Now, we'll be quoting back into Psalms 37, so you might want to put a little note on that. How is these events where you were treated unfairly or unjustly, or that hurt you, how do these things take root? I mean, we can't stop these things from happening in this world. God's people will be treated that way at times. You can't stop that. But how do they take root? You don't want these things to affect you to where they take root on your inside and this poisonous plant begin to grow in you to where it absolutely ruins your life. How does it take root? Well, one way it takes root is by fretting. Does everybody know what fretting means? Look, notice what it says in verse 1 of Psalms 37. It says, to fret not thyself because of what? Because of evildoers. Because when someone does you wrong, or you have an evildoer that does you wrong, it says one of the ways we respond to that is by fretting. Does anybody know what fretting means? It means to fume. It means to boil. You can look it up in Hebrew. It means to fume, to boil, to glow, to burn. Now, have you ever done that? Nobody in here has done that, have they? We've all done that at one time or the other. We've had someone do something to us, and then our response to that was that it made us mad. You know, a lot of things can make you mad, but what you need to do is get rid of that anger eventually. But what fuming is you begin to think about what they did, what they said, how they responded, how they done you, and you think about that thing, and you roll that thing over and over and over and over again in your mind. until, you know what it does? Until it absolutely takes over your mind. You can't even hardly think about something else. I've done that before, and I thought about it. And then while you're doing that, you're thinking about, ooh, I could say this. Oh, and you imagine in your mind what you could say. And you can imagine in your mind, boy, I wish I'd have done that when they did this. And you think about what all you could do. And this pressure cooker is just building, just like a volcano. That's what fuming is. That's why it's called boiling. And what happens when you're fuming is what happens is this seed that's been planted is beginning already to take root. So you already know right off the bat, when you begin to fume, it's already starting to germinate inside of you. That poisonous plant's already beginning to grow because you're thinking about it. And what happens when you're thinking about it all the time is it's now beginning to take root in here. Okay? So that's what it does. And what ends up happening is you'll work yourself up into a rage. I've seen it with couples over the years, and maybe it's happened to you and your family. You forgot your wife's anniversary. That's why we post that on church things, and the men call one another and things. And you post that, or you forgot that, and 2 weeks goes by, and she's fumed over that for 2 weeks. You know, a woman that's fumed over something for 2 weeks is dangerous. She's fumed over that for 2 weeks. You walk in one day and you forget to take your shoes off. When you come in, you walk on and I wish I'd have never married you. You come in with your, and you know what? She blew up over, that's not a big deal, is it? Some of you, but that's not a great big deal. But you know what? She's had 2 weeks to build up that volcano. Anybody that fumes is heading for an explosion. Anybody that fumes is heading for a tremendous explosion. They are. That pressure is going to come out, and it just takes a little something to prick that and let that thing blow up. Really. That's why, as we're going to talk about here later on, that's why people need to do what? Communicate. Communicate and tell what's bothering you immediately. Not wait 6 months to do it because you've had 6 months to fume over it. So when you begin to fume, you know right off the bat that thing is beginning to take root. And you can fume all the time. And if you fume too much, you know what it'll do to you, don't you? It makes you miserable because it takes over your mind. You'll try to study the Word of God. You know, when you're fuming, you can't study. And when you're fuming, you can't sing too well. And when you're fuming, it affects your ability to worship and think and all these things. That's why the devil wants you to do it. So once that seed's been planted and begins to take root, fuming is how it's done. Number two, turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 26. If you don't got a Bible, then just, of course, obviously just listen. But if you do got a Bible and can't find things fast enough, don't worry about it. Just keep listening. You can get lost trying to find things and miss the whole message. And then you can get the CD of the service if you want it. And then you can go back and find the verses and check it out for yourself too, which is what I want you to do. How does the seed take root? Number one, by fuming over it. I catch myself fuming over things all the time. Hate to admit that. You say, Pastor, do you fume? Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do. And I got to watch that. You remember I preached a message not long ago called The Battle of the Mind? That's part of the battle of the mind is fuming. Catch yourself doing that, you're going to work yourself up in a rage, and that thing has already took over your mind and your thinking already when you're doing that. And it'll bite you, so you got to deal with that. Number two, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20 says, where no wood is, what's it say? Well, boy, that's deep, ain't it? Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. You know another way it takes root? It's by talking about it. Talking about it. Telling the sad story of what happened all the time, over and over again, until that keeps it hot. If someone that's been treated unjustly, they love to tell you their story. And the bad thing about telling the story is, you know what it does? It keeps it hot. You know what? There's people sitting at home this morning, today, that 20 years ago went to church to every service. And you know why they quit? Because someone treated them unfairly, or someone said something unjustly, or someone hurt them severely at a church somewhere. That happens. Okay? So they're sitting at home today, and they've been sitting at home for 20 years. And you know what? If you go talk to them, they can recall that event with perfect accuracy of what those dirty people done to them 20 years ago. They can recall it. They can tell you exactly what was said. They can tell you exactly where they were sitting. They can tell you the location of the sun above them and everything else. They have fumed and thought about that and told that story so much that it's kept that thing hot all the time in their mind. Man, if you're always talking about how you was done wrong, then that keeps that thing, that's a sign that it's already taken what? It's already taken root. You know what I found was interesting? When we studied on Joseph, and whenever Joseph went, brothers came to Egypt, it says that the Pharaoh and all of his servants was thrilled, was happy that Joseph's brothers were there. Do you find anything interesting about that? You know why that was? I don't believe Joseph ever told them that these boys had thrown him into a pit and had sold him into slavery. He never mentioned it. Because you know those boys down in Egypt, they loved Joseph. And if he had talked about that when these boys come in, oh boy, here's the heathens. He never spoke of it. He never told anyone else about it. When you tell these events over and over and over and again, not only does it cause people to choose upside, but it keeps that thing hot in you, and that makes it take root. You got to keep talking about it. You got to keep telling the sad story all the time. And what happens is then it overtakes your mind, as we said. It overtakes your mind, controls your mind. And it'll eventually, listen to me, it'll eventually cause you just to quit and give up. That's exactly what it'll do. That's why it's dangerous. You got to beware of this poisonous plant. There's a lot of people that are home this Sunday that have it growing inside of them, and it's quenched them out and made them sorrowful all the time and robbed them of precious time. Listen now, robbed them with precious time that could have been spent in service to Jesus Christ. Really sad to say. You might not like me and things, or I might do something that offends you. I pray that I'm trying never to do, but the bottom line is this: don't ever quit church because of me. God's never done nothing to you. You see what I'm saying? These people have stayed at home for 20 years. The Savior's never done nothing to them but good. You see what I mean? God never did anything. That's why I always tell them. I invited people to church. Oh, I used to go. And they recall their sad story. I said, well, I didn't realize that was the only place on the planet to worship. God didn't do anything. Well, why do you blame God for that? You come to church to worship God. God didn't do anything to you. People might have, but God didn't do it. Don't blame the master for that. Number three. This is how the seed takes root. By fretting, by talking, and number three, by not communicating. In Matthew chapter 18, and we looked at this a few weeks ago, it says if a brother or sister does anything to you that hurts your feelings or offends you, what does it say you're supposed to do? Does anybody know? You better know. Go and do what? Go and tell them their fault between them and you alone. That's what it says, Matthew 18. We've looked at that already. You go tell them between you and them alone. And 99.9% of the time, if you do that, and it's a saint of God, you'll get that thing taken care of. But do you know why the Lord put that rule in effect? Does anybody know? Because He knows if you don't, then that little seed will germinate, and from you will grow a root of bitterness. And it'll poison you and all those that are around you. That's why He said, go tell. Go tell them. Go tell them. Because if you don't tell them, if it's something so severe that it so offends and hurts you that it affects your ability to worship and concentrate on the things of God, if you don't tell them, And that thing will eat you alive from the inside like a cancer it will. It'll eat you alive from the inside. And it'll absolutely quench you out, make you unfruitful, and take over your mind and rob you of all your joy and your peace. You go. That's why he said, go tell them. Get that thing taken care of. Give a person, give another saint of God the option, or not the option, but the opportunity to look at you and tell you that they're sorry. I don't really know of a Christian in his church that if you tell them that they hurt your feelings, that they wouldn't tell you that they were sorry that they'd done it. Now, they might not have meant to. 90% of the time, they don't mean to. I don't know one here that wouldn't say, look, buddy, if I hurt you in any way, if I'm the reason why you've become unfaithful, and man, whatever I did, I'm sorry. I don't know a person here that wouldn't do that. But give them the opportunity to do that. Because if you don't, you'll stew on that thing. You'll stew on that thing. And you'll get to where you hate that person. Not communicating is the third way that that thing takes seed. Years ago, I had a pastor I loved and still love him. And I was going to buy a vehicle from him and had that all set up for he was going to come to my house. And I waited all evening for him to come. And he never come. And never called. Never even called. Well, I was young. I was only like 18. I was looking at maybe buying a vehicle from him. And it hurt my feelings because I loved him. You know, I trusted him, depended on him. Still do. Everybody makes mistakes, folks, for crying out loud. And he didn't come, and then I had another thing set up, and he didn't come, and he didn't call. And finally, and I fretted on it. I thought, man, am I not even worth a phone call? I started thinking and thinking. It hurt my feelings, and then I started feeling ill towards him. And then I didn't want to be around him much. That's how I go. I don't want to be around him. I didn't want to be around him much. And you know, it didn't take him long to figure out that, you know what? There's something wrong with Jeff. He ain't like he was before. You know what? I had a poisonous plant growing inside of me. It grew into bitterness. Now, what was the thing for me to do? Does anybody know? Buddy, you hurt my feelings for not coming up to my house the other day. Now, you didn't even call me. You know, come find out there was a very good explanation for that. But I'd have found that out a month earlier if I'd asked him. Many people do people that way. But see, that poisonous plant had already grew. You know what? Didn't want to come to church either because I'd have to listen to him preach. That's how it happens. You don't like the man behind the pulpit. And you can't stand him or whatever. Something he said or done to you hurt your feelings. You don't tell him. You don't want to hear him preach. See what I mean? Give him the opportunity. Not communicating is how it takes root. Not talking is how it takes root. Or by talking about it all the time is how it takes root. These are the different ways. Fretting over it's how it takes root. Now, let's talk a little bit about the plant. We've seen what the seed is, events where you're hurt or been abused or treated unfairly. We talked about three ways it takes root. Now, let's talk about the poisonous plant itself. Let's go back to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, let's look back again at verse 15. Lest any fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up. Now, what's the first thing it says that will do? It'll trouble you. The root of bitterness will trouble you. Those that hold bitterness are hurting worse than those that they hold the bitterness against. Do y'all agree? It'll trouble you. It'll vex your mind and overwhelm your mind to where it's all you think about. You think about it when you walk along the way. You think about it when you lie down. You think about it when you rise up. It'll trouble you and it'll take over your mind. And when you take over a Christian's mind, I need my mind. I need my mind to worship the King. I need my mind to study my Bible. I need my mind to pray. But if you take over my mind with a poisonous plant of bitterness, it keeps me from being able to do those things. Then as a result, I will become unfruitful. Stop serving the Lord. Oh, you know, there's an epidemic today of pastors. I've read it and studied it and looked at it. An epidemic of pastors leaving the ministry. And you know why they leave it? Because of the way they is treated. They all got their big, long, sad stories. Folks, that goes along with the ministry. Look at the life of Paul. And they get bitter. They get bitter. And then what happens when they get bitter is then that they just it just makes them totally unfruitful. And then you know what they do? They leave. They quit. It's an epidemic. But the cause of it many times is this poisonous plant. Poison them out. And you go, why aren't you in the ministry? Oh, and they'll tell you what? They'll tell you their story. And many times what their story is true, but their reaction to it was wrong. So it'll trouble you, my friend. Are you this morning troubled because you got a poisonous plant in you? Has it made you unfruitful? Has it made you not want to come to God's house? Has it made you unable to pray and study God's Word? Have you lost your desire to share the gospel message with those who are lost? No longer doing that either? You might be because you've got poison growing in you that you need to get rid of. So it'll trouble you. You know what else? Let's look at the rest of verse 15. It says, by it many are what? Defiled. It not only will trouble you, but it says many will be defiled by it. It'll defile many. Oh, may the Spirit of God speak to folks about this. What's it mean to defile many? It will defile many. It not only, you know, when someone gets a poisonous plant growing in them and they get this root of bitterness inside of them, it'd be bad enough if it was just them, but that's what I found. They always pass it to some other people. I've seen men get bitter, and they stopped church. And you know who stopped after them? And their wives stopped. And then you know who else stopped? And all their children stopped. But it all began with them. It all began with them. They spread that to the rest of their family and poisoned them. Poisoned them. And they're all at the house today. They're all at the house. Started with one getting the bitter root inside of them. They responded poorly to it. And then they passed that on to other people. I've seen it. How about you? It just don't stick with you. You always pass it. When you get bitter, you'll make someone else bitter along with you. These pastors that get bitter, their wives get bitterer than they are. Because they see it, you know. They always pass it. Can I ask you a question? Do you want to pass bitterness on to your children? I don't. I don't want them to be bitter. I want their minds to be clear so that they can worship the Lord and serve the Lord. But not only does it trouble you, but it will defile others. And you know where most of the problems in churches, you know who causes most of your problems in churches? Bitter people. It's bitter people that does it. They got a gall of bitterness down in their soul. And nothing in the world can, and us in this side of glory, can make them happy. And they got a bitter root here and they defile the whole congregation with it. That's how it works. You always defile others. You always defile others, and that's the next thing that's bad about it. Everybody understand? That's how she takes through. I'm not done. I'll be done in a little bit. Don't get excited. Let's talk about this plant. We're looking at the plant now. We talk about how it's troubled you and how you defile it. I don't know about you. How do you get rid of it? I mean, you can't call a weed company and get rid of this one. And you can't act like it don't exist. Because you know what? When people are bitter, you know what I found? I found that you can always tell it. You know, when bitterness has taken root and a plant's growing up, does anyone know how you tell it? Someone that is bitter's mouth always shows it. If you got a bitter spirit here, your mouth will reveal it. Always. I've talked to people, hadn't even known him, walked away and said, man, that guy's bitter. Because your mouth will reveal it. Your mouth reveals what's in your heart. And if you got a bitter spirit, your tongue is like the poison of asp. It'll be poison. Everything that comes out, there's nothing there that glorifies or honors the Lord. It's just always bitter. Always bitter. So that's the, your tongue will reveal it. Your countenance will reveal it. Your countenance will reveal it. And then number three, your actions will reveal it. Those are three things that show it. You can probably pretty well tell when I'm happy. But you can also tell when I'm bitter. Your countenance will show it. You can tell it. You ain't sunshiny unless you're hiding it. Look like you had persimmons for breakfast all the time. What Dad used to say when I would be hateful at the house. Well, she had persimmons for breakfast. Countenance shows. The way you act shows. To Simon the sorcerer, Peter said, I perceive, son, that you're in the gall of bitterness. What he said. And he was. His countenance showed it. The way he talked showed it. And his actions showed it. So is yours and so does mine. How do you get rid of it? Number one, is this root of bitterness a sin? Is it? So what do you do with the sin? The first thing you do, you acknowledge it. You acknowledge that it's there. And you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm so bitter. And I hate this. And it's took over my mind. And it's poisoning everybody around me, God. Forgive me for that. And oh God, will you work this thing out of my life? That's the first thing you do. I've done it before. Lord, I'm in the gall of bitterness. Get this out of my system. This is killing me. This is killing me and affecting me tremendously. Oh, God, forgive me. Work this out of my heart. Pull this old poisonous plant out of my soul by the roots. Get rid of it so that I'll be able to concentrate on you and your work. All God's people say it. Amen. Do that. Acknowledge it to the Lord. Number two, put it under God's providence. Put the event, whatever happened, put it under God's providence. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Let me give you an example of it. Joseph's brothers treated Joseph unfairly. They did him wrong. I'm glad I wasn't Joseph. I'd have probably put him in a dungeon at least a month. He didn't do none of that. He forgave them. When he saw that they repented, he forgave them. Okay? You know, when he went to them and he said, boys, he said, you treated me unfairly. You meant it for me. You meant it for me for harm. But God permitted it for the good because God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity here in Egypt. He put it under providence. You know, God has a purpose for everything he permits in the lives of his people. Does everybody believe that? He has a purpose for everything he permits in the lives of these people, and that includes bad treatment. You put it under the providence of God. That's what Joseph did. And he knew that his brothers did him wrong, but he knew that God permitted it for a purpose of sending him to Egypt so he could take care of his people in a famine. He put it under God's providence. Number three, once you've acknowledged it, once you put it under the providence of God, and you need to start saturating your mind with the Word of God. First thing every morning, saturate your mind with the Psalms and the Word of God. Get the Word of God in your mind, and that's cure for that poison that's been flowing through your mind all that time. Saturate it. That's what I did. Saturated it. Morning and evening, thinking about it, meditating on it. When the thoughts came back, I repented of them and saturated it again with the Scriptures. And sung to him, off and on all day. You know, Saul had a tormented mind. Does everybody agree? King Saul had a tormented mind. You know what they did to calm his mind? Does anybody remember? They brought to play to him music and song. What do you think the songs David played was? He played the Psalms to him, and it calmed his mind. Ain't nothing wrong with listening to good godly music. It'll calm your mind. Nothing wrong with walking and working and singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." Singing the Lord, it helps control your mind. Saturate your mind, my friend. Saturate your mind with the Word of God and with wonderful Christian songs. It'll calm that savage fire that you've got flowing in you. It's like water. It'll quench it. Acknowledge it to God. Put it under God's providence. Saturate your mind with Word and with song. That's what you do. And number four, if you haven't done it yet, and it's a brother or sister, go and reconcile. They might, in most cases, they don't even know. I've had people come to me over the years and told me things that I've done where I hurt them. Listen, and I didn't even know. I did not even know. Didn't mean to, and didn't even know until they come and told me. Give them that honor to do that. And the opportunity to tip at you and say, "Look, man, if I did that, I'm sorry. Wasn't my intent." Give them that option. If you haven't done that, then nothing this side of glory will make you happy. You got to deal with that. Or it'll grow up a poisonous plant in you and tear you apart from within, rob you of your joy and your peace. Let me tell you something else. I'm closing. Let me tell you something else. This bitterness, this gall of bitterness, is just not against people. The gall of bitterness can grow against God. That's the bitterness of roots and the worst of plants. It can be against God. Yes, it can. One of the sins of Job, I believe later, I know Job responded well. We talked about that. Job got bitter. Can you understand why he would get bitter? He lost his children. I believe it was six children. He lost his health to where he looked unreconciled. You couldn't recognize who he was. He looked so afflicted with the disease that he had. He lost all of his wealth. And then he even lost his wife, I believe. She wanted nothing to do with him. Told him to curse God and God. Even he looked like he had nobody. That's what it looked like. And he got bitter. Have you ever got bitter at God? Look, guys, God is always good in everything that He does. And He always has a purpose for everything that He permits in the lives of His people. Now, you may not understand everything right now. But my friend, you don't have all the information. God does. And I can guarantee you that in time, one of these days, it might be when you're in glory, you'll see that God knew what He was doing all along. I can guarantee you that. I told you years ago, and I'll stop with this. Years ago, I had a fellow that called me for a job. And I had an interview, and I thought, wow, that'd be awesome. It's in the same building that I'd worked in for years. And I went there, and that guy gave me an interview, and he talked about me. He had a big tie on, and he was, as a matter of fact, he was in my office that I used to have. And so he was talking, and I was standing there. You know, I'd done anything, and he was interviewing. He said, then he talked to me for about 35 minutes. My hopes was this high, and then he said, "Well, we don't need nobody right now." And I thought, why in the world did he ask me to come up here? Man, when I went from Bancroft to Nitro, my hopes were here. Now, you talk about getting your hopes dashed. Now, I thought that was awful. And I got mad at the Lord over that. I figured He allowed it. I figured He knew it would happen. And I come home, and I was crying, came down there like a baby. I said, "Lord, why did You let that hang happen to me? Why? Did you let me get my hopes up? Which it wasn't my fault. It wasn't his fault I got my hopes up, was it? I didn't know what his plan was. Why'd you let that happen to me? I so aggravated the Lord. No one ever likes to admit that they've done that. And I come home and, you know, I got better. I told the master I'm sorry. I was emotional and forgive me and acknowledged it. And, you know, 2 weeks later, a new job called me. It was in the same stinking building on the other side. This job was better. And it had insurance. And it had everything you needed in order to take care of a family. It was all there. This job didn't have those things. Do you know that God knew that? He knew 2 weeks earlier what he was... I'm sorry. He knew that from eternity past what he was going to do. And once I got this other job, I wished I'd never opened my mouth up. I said, God, forgive me for shooting my... See, I didn't have... Listen, I didn't have all the what? I didn't have all the information. That's why God's Word says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and do what? Lean not to your own understanding. Things is not always you appear. And you don't have all the information for things that happens. So you know what God wants you to do? Does anybody know? He wants you to trust Him. Let's all stand. All right.